Okay, so tonight we are continuing on with Misasik. We'll have to see how the timing goes, if we'll finish up tonight or not. But let's continue, I guess. So let's just quickly summarize, spend a few moments summarizing what we did last week, because we're going to be building and discussing interesting applications of the principles that we established last week. So last week we were introduced to the principle of Misasik. If a person does an Avera without awareness, that is going to be pater in some sense of the word. We'll discuss what that means exactly, but there's a patur, person does an Avera lacking awareness. And we saw last week that Tosfos and Sanhedrin pointed out, Tosfos and Samach Beis and Beis and Sanhedrin pointed out that the two formats of Misasik, format number one is where a person does an Avera due to a misconception. He misassesses a certain situation, and because of his misconception, he commits the Avera. The case that comes up is, let's say on Shabbos, a person sees an object on the ground, which he thinks is a knife, and he wants to do the innocent act of picking it up. But little does he know that really this knife was actually a piece of vegetation. When he plucks it from the ground, he detaches it from the ground, and that is a performance of the malacha of kotzer. So because of his misconception, he performed malachas kotzer. Now this first format of misasik is a patur in kol ha'tara kula. Any iser that a person performs due to a misconception is going to be patur, as learned out from the drasha of ba. There's a superfluous word ba in the parsha of Korban Chatas, and that teaches us that a person is patur for doing any avera due to a misconception. The second format of misasik we had last week was where there's a slip of the hand. The person slips, and that's how he ends up performing an avera. And Tosfos tells us that this is only patur on Shabbos. On Shabbos, if a person performs a malacha due to a slip of the hand, that is going to be patur, based on the principle of malachas machshavas. But in any other area of halacha, any other isra person does due to a slip of the hand, he is not going to be patur. So the case we had last week, just to illustrate the second format, was where a person, again, sees this knife on the ground. This time he did a proper research ahead of time. It actually is a knife. But as he goes down to pick up the knife, his hand slips and he picks up some vegetation instead and again performs malachas kotzer. So this time it wasn't a misconception, it was just a slip of the hand, and that's how he ended up performing Malachas Kotzer. So that is our first Chazara from last week, reminding ourselves of the two formats of Misasik. Chazara number two is the machlokes between the Reb Kiv Eiger and the Nesivas on the issue of what's the status of Misasik. When a person does an Avera in a manner that's lacking awareness in one of these two formats, what's the exact status of this type of Avera? So we had a big-time famous machlokes between Reb Kiv Eiger versus the Nesivas. According to Reb Kiv Eiger, there's a fundamental distinction between the two formats of misasik. When it comes to format number one, where a person has a misconception, which was a patur and kol ha'tara kula, Reb Kiv Eiger maintains that it is a maisa avera, meaning to say that the person did do something wrong. He's going to have to get kapara. He did something wrong. It's just a very diluted avera. At the end of the day, it was a misconception. It was a mistake. And so therefore, he doesn't even need to bring a korban chatas. But it is an avera nonetheless. That is by format number one. And format number two is when it comes to a slip of the hand. On Shabbos, Reb Kiv Eiger felt that that's not an avera bechlal. That's coming from the drasha malachas machshavas. That's a perfectly innocent activity. You don't need any kapara whatsoever. So that was Reb Kiv Eiger shita from last week. And moving over to the Nesivas argues on Reb Kiv Eiger, and he holds that misasik is never considered to be an avera. It's always a perfectly innocent act, whether it's format number one or format number two. So not only in the case where there's a slip of the hand do we say that misasik is an innocent activity, but even in format number one, when there's a misconception, that is also a totally innocent activity. So that was our chazara from last week. We reminded ourselves of the two formats of misasik, and the machlokes between Reb Kiv Eiger versus the Nesivas. And now tonight, we're going to go through one or two shilas, depending on the time, and see how these shilas are built off the principles that we established last week. Okay, the shila number one is a shila that we once discussed a few months ago in the first year of the year, but we did not do a thorough job. And to be honest, I don't think we even did a properly accurate job. So we're going to readdress the shila. We're going to do it much more in depth. And we'll see how the principles that we establish in the sugya are going to play out in the shaila. The question becomes, let's say we have a community erev that goes down. and let's say it goes down right before Shabbos or the beginning of Shabbos, and the heads of the community are informed that the Erev is down. Shaila is, should the heads of the community inform the Kehillah about this occurrence, that the Erev is down and they should not be carried? That's the Shaila that we once discussed, and now we're going to do a much more proper job on this Shaila. So we have on this a machlokas poskim between Rav Shlomo Zalman on the one hand versus the Orech HaShabbos and the Chutshani on the other hand. So let's go through the analysis of the Shaila. Starting with the Shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's Shita begins with a story. There's a sefer called Madani Shlomo that brings down the following incident that once took place. Apparently, some years ago, in a town in Eretz Yisrael called Ramat Sharat, I'm not sure where that is, the community Erev went down at the beginning of Shabbos. And on Friday night, Leil Shabbos, the Rav was informed of this occurrence that the Erev is down. And the Rav had a dilemma because there were two opposing groups of people in the Kehillah. On the one hand, there were a lot of unaffiliated and not so religious Druze that were in this Kehillah. And making the announcement that the Erev is down would be detrimental to this group of people because they're not going to listen to the announcement. If you make the announcement, they're not going to care anyways. At least if you don't make the announcement, so they're acting thinking that the Erev was up. They're not acting so grievously. But if you make the announcement and they despite your announcement, they don't listen to you, now you just turn them into a mazed. Now they're acting deliberately. And so you're harming them by making the announcement. That was one group of people in this Kehillah. The second group of people were there are upstanding citizens here who are very happy to hear the announcement, to be informed that the Erev is down, and they're going to listen to it. So he had a dilemma, which group of people should he prioritize? What should he do in the situation? That is the Maisa Shehaya that took place. So the Sefer Madani Shlomo was written by a certain Talmud Chacham, and he posed the Rav, the Talmud Chacham who wrote this Sefer, asked this question to Rav Shlomo Zalman. He asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, what do we do in this situation? What's the halacha in this case? So Rav Shlomo Zalman paskened that you should not announce the fact the Erev is down, that you should not publicize it, you should keep it quiet. And he gave two reasons, two arguments why we should be silent on this issue. Reason number one of Rav Shlomo Zalman was like this, that in this situation, so right now the whole Kehillah assumes that the Erev is up. It's been up for the last few weeks, and there's no reason to assume per se that it went down. They're all assuming that it's up right now. Now, in reality, it's really not up, but they don't know that. So when they carry on Shabbos, they're carrying without awareness that they're doing an Avera. Although in reality, they're doing the Malach al-Hotzah, but in their minds, they're unaware of the fact that the Erev is down. They're doing this Malach without awareness. This is a Mis'asek. Now, what's the halacha in this type of Mis'asek situation? So the Achronim assume that this scenario where the Erev is down and the people are not aware that the Erev is down fits under format number one. This is a case of misconception because let's analyze this situation. The person, you know, our Joe, a random Joe who's in the Kehillah is perfectly aware of what he's doing. He knows that he's carrying on Shabbos. He just has a misconception of the details. He thinks that the Erev is up and he's doing a permissible activity. Really, the Erev is down and he's doing a prohibited act. So his act of Hotzah is a misconception. What's the halacha when you do an Avera due to a misconception? So this depends on Rabbi Kivega versus the Nesivos. According to Rabbi Kivega, that's a Maisa Avera, that it's not the most grievous thing in the world. Person's doing it due to a mistake, it's a misconception, but it is a Maisa Avera. So according to Rabbi Kivega, it's not so simple at all to let this whole Kehillah walk around carrying without the awareness that the Erev is down, because every act of Hotzah is a Maisa Avera. But moving over to the Nesivos, according to the Nesivos, this is a perfectly innocent activity. The Nesivos maintains that doing an Avera based on a misconception is perfectly permissible. According to the Nesivos, there's nothing wrong whatsoever. So Shlomo Zalman's first argument was that we have the Shita of the Nesivos. According to the Nesivos, if we sit back and we don't announce to the Kehillah that the Erev is down, they are carrying due to a misconception. According to the Nesivos, it's a perfectly innocent act, nothing wrong whatsoever. So that is argument number one of Rav Shlomo Zalman, why we should be quiet in this situation. Okay, moving over to argument number two. His second argument why we shouldn't announce the down to Erev is even working with the Shita of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Even according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that doing an Aver b'Misasig is a Maisa Aver. So now this whole Kehillah, if we're quiet, they're all doing something inappropriate throughout all of Shabbos. Nonetheless, as Shlomo Zalman, we still have a second reason why it might be Kedai to be quiet. Says Shlomo Zalman, now listen, as we pointed out from the get-go, we have two groups of people in this community. We have group A, who are the less affiliated people that are being hurt. It's detrimental to make the announcement to group A because they're not going to listen to it. If you make the announcement, you're turning them into amaze it, that if we sit back, we don't tell them about it. Okay, so they're acting the show gig. It is perfectly, I mean, it's not permissible, but it's not the most grievous thing in the world. If we make the announcement, now group A, our unaffiliated people, are acting deliberately. They're acting amazed. It hurts them if we make the announcement. Then we have group B. Group B are the people who are religious, who are meticulous. They're going to listen to the announcement. They're benefited by making the announcement. Says Shlomo Zalman, that it's better to sit back and have everyone do it b'shogeg than to make the announcement and now have a group of people doing it b'mezit. Because once again, if we sit back and we don't make the announcement, everyone's doing it b'shogeg. Not the best thing in the world, but not the most serious avera on the table. If we make the announcement, so now one group of people, group A we called it, are now acting b'mezit. We just turned them into grievous sinners on Shabbos. Says Shlomo Zalman, mutav she'shogegin v'aliyeh mizidin. That it's better to allow them to all do it b'shogeg, have the whole kehillah do the aveira b'shogeg, then to make the announcement and cause a section of the kehillah to be violating the aveira b'mezit. So this is all the psak of Shlomo Zalman on the issue of a downed erev. He paskin that you should not announce the fact that the erev is down for two reasons. Reason number one is the shita of the nesivas. According to the nesivas, there is no ma'isa aveira whatsoever when a person does an aveira b'misaseh. And these people, they're unaware that the erev is down. It's a misaseh. It's perfectly innocent. Argument number two is the concept of mutiv shei shogegin v'al yemizidin, that it's better to have a person do an aver b'shogeg rather than having tell him about it, to give him a hasra, to warn him, and to criticize him. And now he's doing it b'mezit. And so in this case, it's better to have everyone do a b'shogeg than to announce it and have a section of the people do it b'mezit. Now, just to finish up one last point, and then we'll stop for questions. He throws in one more point, says Shlomo Zalman, that this is only his psak halacha. This is the psak halacha of Rav Chaim Brisker and Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger of Brisk. Rav Simcha Zelig is the famous dayan of Brisk. He was the dayan in the times of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, kind of like a Talmud Chaver. And they both paskin, Rav Chaim Brisker himself and Rav Simcha Zelig both paskin that a downed erev should not be announced. If the erev goes down, you should announce it. And their reason was reason number one, that they paskin like the nesivas, that an aver b'misasik is a perfectly innocent act, and therefore there's no point in making the announcement. Why should we make the announcement and have everyone be, subject ourselves to the complications that people won't listen? If we don't make the announcement, it's perfectly innocent. Chaim Brisker paskin not to make the announcement. And it's interesting if you follow all the Brisker lineage, so they all the Briskers paskin this way. Soloveitchik from YU, in his farm, it's brought down also that he also held this way, that a misasik is not considered to be ma'isa avera. I asked Rav Soloveitchik here from Yeshiva, and he wasn't aware of the Reb Chaim, which Rav Shlomo Zalman brings, but he knew his grandfather, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, also paskin the same way, that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik also paskin that an avera misasik is not a ma'isa avera whatsoever. So that all the Briskers are l'shitaso here. Okay, so let's stop for questions. Moshe?
Yeah.
Okay, 100%. You said like the Arab or
the
Arab? Yeah. So we're gonna touch on that a little bit, but just to dramatize Moshe's point, I'm just gonna rephrase it in terms of, let's say, Arab. Like, if an Arab goes down, according to Reb Chaim, maybe you should just never fix it. You know, like for the next 5 months, the whole Kehillah thinks that the Arab is up. We'll get some strings. You know, like we'll put some fishing strings up in a few spots. They think the Arab is up. Like, what's the big deal? You know, it's just to dramatize Moshe's point or any other community issue. Why tell them about various issues, which we're going to get to, you know, more to a little later on, but just it's a very serious question. But the answer is that ultimately it's hard to keep a secret from people, and people find out about things. And once they know about it, it loses its status. It's very easy to mesh, switch over from misasik to amazed And we need to avoid that. So ultimately speaking, it's not so simple to just be quiet when, like, you know, people find out about it and then
know about porn.
That's true also, but right. So that's a fair point also that you know, ahead of time, it could be telling them they'll be able to take the proper precautions. There's also the Shita Ruki Vega, which you always want to take into account. So that's also a complication that we, but you're saying Reb Chaim himself and Brisk, like, why do they ever, you know, he passed on like Nesivus, why they ever fix an error? So again, there's a complication of people not, you know, there are people finding out through the grapevine that the error is down, and then they'll create, you know, we can switch, you can quickly end up with a mazed situation, which is grievous. Yeah. Yes, so they're very
mikvah, for example, very bit different than the rabbanon of the Arab.
So typically speaking, the post rabbanon distinguish between the raisos and the rabbanon on these mesanic shaylas.
And I'm saying it is the kilos, not just the kilos job, every individual person actually to find it out. Everyone assumed that it should be on the rav or whatever.
Yeah, yes, but we're in economy. Well, we're discussing.
So it is actually, it would be. On the person itself, the show begins.
It's a you're saying that they should have asked, they should have inquired.
Each one of them has a few to ask.
Okay, it's a fair point. Just that you're reminding me, just to finish off, that Rishon Lezalman does say at the end of his discussion here that it is kedai to inform individuals, although he paskins not to inform the kehilla public that the error is down, but individuals who will adhere to the announcement should be informed. So just you're reminding me here that he does say to do that. Yeah, Penny. So we're going to touch on the parameters of Mutav in a second. Okay, so they're assuming that right now. We're going to touch more on Mutav in a second. Yeah.
Is this Pesach only if Erev Chol on Shabbos or right before Shabbos?
Okay, so Pashup Shai, it doesn't matter if it fell down on Shabbos or before Shabbos. But I will tell you this, that the person in the five towns who runs the community Erev there said that there is a distinction, that he distinguishes between if the Erev fell down on Shabbos or before Shabbos. He claims that if it fell down before Shabbos, he announces it. If it falls down on Shabbos, he doesn't. So I'm not, I tried to find that in Mar Malcolm. I didn't get one, but yeah. Avi, did you have a question? Fine. Okay. Daniel? Yeah.
Yeah, I just, the language that you used in the first answer, the second answer of Rishon Zalman, one used the term Masasik and the other one used the term Shogig. Are those two interchangeable? Yeah, here?
So answer one is to say that this is an innocent act according to the Nesivus. His first argument was that, listen, according to the Nesivus, this is innocent. His second argument was, even if this is called a regular Shogig like Reb Kivager, that it is a Maisa Avera and it's a Shogig, but nonetheless, it's better to have everyone do a low grade Avera rather than to make the announcement and have a section of people do a more grievous Avera. So
that's what we said last week. There, Kivager says that even though it's a Maisa Avera, it has a status of a Shogig.
Okay, no. So you're right. Okay, so technically speaking, it's a Maisa Avera that's not 100% the exact same as a Shogig in that you're potter from being a carbon, but it can be interchanged in a loose sense in that it's a Maisa Avera. It's a mistaken Avera. You're right. You're touching. You're catching me here. It's good.
Oh, okay.
You'll be famous on the recording.
Okay, and would it make a difference in this concept of the Erev if we're not talking about a situation where you have a Rishus HaYach, Rishus HaRabim versus just like a standard Carmelist, which is
so by definition we're talking about Carmelists, so we're discussing Erev, and so that's why we're discussing the Rabbanan issues, but right now the poskim are not distinguishing. Okay, so let's continue on. So now moving over to the Shita of the Aruch HaShabbos and the Chut Shani. The Chutshani and the Aruch HaShabbos both paskin that a downed Erev should be announced. That they say the minhag is that if an Erev goes down, the Kehillah should be informed that the Erev is down. Why do they hold that we should make the announcement? So apparently they're arguing on the two points of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So starting with point number one, Rosh Shlomo Zalman's first argument was that we pass like the Nesivus, or we should take into account the Nesivus. According to the Nesivus, an Avera done by Misasek is perfectly innocent. There's nothing wrong whatsoever. It's clear from the Chut Shani and the Aruch HaShabbos, they are both going with the Shita of Reb Kivager. Yeah. Yes, 100%. Yeah, exactly. So, So that's Rosh Shlomo Zalman and Reb Chaim Brisker are saying their first argument is that we should not announce it down the Erev. It's a perfectly innocent act. The Aruch HaShabbos and the Chut Shani, moving over to their Shita, they are going with Reb Kivager. They are treating a Misasek as a Maisa Avera. And so we have no right to sit back and let the entire community do something wrong when we have the ability to inform them and stop them from doing this other. What is that?
It's a lesser offense.
Okay, so that's 100%. Yeah, so we're gonna build on that. But for now, so that's the argument number one. They're going with the Shita of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Moving over to the second point of Shlomo Zalman. His second point was that there's an argument not to announce the down to Erev, because in a typical standard Kehillah, you're going to have some people who are not going to listen to the announcement. And by making the announcement, you're now, you know, harming those people. You're turning them into a mezid. So Shlomo Zalman's second point was, move to b'shei shogigin, better to sit back and have everyone do a b'shogig rather than make the announcement and cause a section of people to do a mezid. Now, the Orchei Shabbos and the Chochoni don't directly discuss the second point, but they seem to be arguing on Rosh Shlomo Zalman, because there is room to make the following argument, that why should we prioritize the people who are less meticulous, who will be harmed by the announcement? Let's prioritize the other group of people. We have a group of people who are upstanding Yidden, who right now are going to be doing an Aver B'Shogeg. If we don't make an announcement, they're going to be doing an Aver B'Shogeg. If we do make the announcement, they're now going to be listening to announcements and not doing any Avera whatsoever. So let's give them priority. Let's give group B, the more meticulous people, priority and not apply the principle of Mutav Shei Shogin. Mutav Shei Shogin doesn't necessarily apply in this situation. That's what Penny was touching on before. The classic case of Mutav Shogin means I have one individual and I know that he will not listen to me if I give him Tochacha. He's doing something wrong. If I give him Tochacha, he won't listen to me. In that situation, we say, listen, it's better that he does a B'Shogeg rather than me giving him Tochacha and he'll do it B'Mezid. That's where we apply the principle of sit back and don't give Tochacha. But in this case, it's not simple at all to apply that principle. Shlomo Zalman was applying it in this case, but there's a strong argument to counter that it doesn't apply in this case. Because in this case, we have different groups of people. If I don't make an announcement, it's true that one section is now being benefited because they're acting B'Shogeg and they would have been B'Mezid. But the other section is being hurt. I have a group of people who are upstanding people who, if I'm quiet, they're doing something wrong. If I make the announcement, now they're going to be doing something right. So that is the second argument, which the Orchei Shabbos and the Chochoni seem to be holding. Now, I put on the Mar Makomos in Igros Moshe, where Rav Moshe himself also seems to argue on Rosh Shlomo Zalman on this very point. So this will give a very solid grounding, you know, basis now to validate the Orchei Shabbos and the Chochoni on the second point. So we're going to spend a few moments now going through the tshuva of Rav Moshe, where it's pretty clear that Rav Moshe himself also argued on Rav Shlomo Zalman and felt that in this type of situation with different groups of people, we prioritize, we have different priorities for what to do. So the Daniel, you have a question?
Sorry, just aren't the consequences more extreme when you announce it? Like the consequences for the person who does it amazing, it is much more extreme than if either, if any group does a b'shogeg. So isn't that just a simple calculus? I don't understand the nature of that argument.
You're saying you don't understand the counter argument or Shlomo Zalman?
Yeah, because the
counter argument is that right now, if I'm quiet, everyone's a shogig, so they all get a minus one. If I make an announcement, so one group is now mazes, so they get a minus five. But the other group is now getting a zero because they're, I'm responding with calculus.
I mean, it sounds like that famous trolley argument in psychology, right? Like if you, whether or not you pull the train to go one way or the other to hit five people or one. I mean, if you just take a simple arithmetic, it's better for everyone to get minus one than it is for.
Okay, so I hear. I also messed the numbers up. It really should be a minus two, one, or zero, whatever. Okay, fine. Okay, I think we're on the same page here. I'm not a psychology major here. Okay, moving over to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe is discussing the following shaila. We're moving over now to Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, and the halacha is, as we know, we have the minhag of blowing 100 tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah. And the din is that a person is not supposed to speak from the time of the bracha, from the time that the bracha is recited on the shofar, right before Musaf, before we blow the shofar, all the way till after Musaf, till the end of the 100th blast. That's the din. You're not supposed to speak the entire time. Now, it's very common practice in many kehillas to announce right before the brachos, have in mind the biyot, the brachos, and don't speak between the brachos and the end of the 100 kolos. Anyone who davens here in Rosh Hashanah knows that Rosh Malavis makes this announcement every single year. He makes this whole set of announcements, one of them being, don't speak now until after the 100 blacks. This is standard stuff. Rav Moshe was now asked the following question. There was a certain kehillah, and this is a somewhat common issue that arises, where there were a lot of unaffiliated Jews that come for the high holidays. This is a standard thing. The high holidays is one of the big times of year that the less affiliated people come to synagogue. And so the question became, should we make this announcement in shul not to speak between the brachos and the 100 tekiyos in light of the fact that these less affiliated participants are not going to listen to it? If you make the announcement, So if you make this announcement, they're now turning into a mezid. You've now taught them a new halacha. Okay, so Ramosha discusses this very issue. Okay, so Ramosha discusses, it's a very good point. It's a two paragraph shuva. The second paragraph is devoted to this kash of Avram. I just don't want to go through it for time's sake, but he's making a fair point, which is you have to pin down the exact avera, you know, for speaking after the last, the first set of blasts. That's a very fair point, but he addresses this. But whatever the case may be, so that the question was, should we make this announcement that the not to make the not to speak during the interim of this period of time, a lot of the fact that this section of people are being harmed when you make the announcement now, they're turning into a mezid on whatever the issue is. Whereas if you're quiet, so now they're just a shogeg, they're acting innocently. That was the question posed to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe gave the opposite analysis of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Says Rav Moshe, once again, we have two groups of people in this situation. There are the people who are harmed by the announcement. There are the people who are benefited by the announcement. Pasuk and Rav Moshe, we should prioritize the second group of people, that we should make the announcement for the betterment of the people who will listen. That these people who will listen to it, if I don't make the announcement, they may forget the halacha. They may not be aware of the halacha. When I remind them, when I inform them they're going to listen to me, they are given priority. We should make the announcement. So this tshuva of Rav Moshe would seem to be arguing on Rav Shlomo Zalman and would give more of a basis to the Aruch HaShabbos and the Chachoni. Because once again, the Aruch HaShabbos and the Chachoni were both of the opinion that we always publicize down to Erev. They seem to be taking an issue with Rav Shlomo Zalman's second point. So we're just bringing in Rav Moshe now to add a little more firepower to their argument that Rav Moshe himself also seemed to be arguing on Rav Shlomo Zalman. Yeah. Yes, so this is absolutely fits under Chiyach Tochiyach. Mutiv Shei Shogin is the counterpart to Chiyach Tochiyach. That generally we have a Chiyach of Tochacha, that we have to inform people if they're doing something wrong. But the counterbalance to that is Mutiv Shei Shogin Adi Mezidin, that if they're not going to listen and you give them Tochacha, you just turn them into a mezid. So that's the exact tension that we're trying to analyze here. Yeah.
What if this is different? Because the case of the cult of the hundred, you know, not speaking until the end of the 100 kolos, that you're teaching them the halacha. You're teaching people this is going to apply this year, it's going to apply next year, it's going to apply going forward, and you're teaching them a halacha. You shouldn't be holding back from teaching halachos. But in this case with the Eruv, they know the halacha. They're unaware that in this particular circumstance, the Erev is not functioning.
I hear the point you was making. I heard this point even made by a Rav in YU, Rav Ezra Schwartz. I heard him make this exact point that you was making right now, that there could be room for this Nakuda, but I don't have anything to add to that. Yeah. It's a fair discussion. Okay, I hear. Fine. Okay. Just to finish off this first shayla. So just to recap, our first shayla on the table we're discussing is whether to announce it down to Erev. We have Shlomo Zalman on the one hand saying not to announce it down to Erev. Chaim Brisker, Reb Simcha Zelig of Brisk, both Paskin and Sway also not to announce it down to Erev. They had two arguments. And the second shita was the Aruch HaShabbos and the Chodshani. They maintain that the minhag is to announce the fact that the Erev is down. And we discussed that they're arguing on the two points of Shlomo Zalman. And we brought Rav Moshe as some added firepower to back up the Aruch HaShabbos on that second point of contention. Now, just to chazer over one more interesting point about this first shayla, which we pointed out in the past, but I'll just review it again right now, that there's another fascinating application of this whole first shayla that plays out in the following circumstance. Let's say you have a person, an individual, who gets hired to be the new Rav of a Kehillah. Now, KTT, they brought in a new Rav, and the new Rav comes in, and the first week on the job, he realizes that the Erev is not okay, that the Erev is just not okay. It's problematic, serious problems. So the big issue becomes that our new Rav now has a big dilemma. On the one hand, his Kehillah, that's now his flock, this upcoming Shabbos is not all going to be carrying inappropriately with his Erev. The Erev is not okay. On the other hand, if his first week on the job, he starts making a big fuss about the Erev that the whole Kehillah relied on, the last Rav didn't make a complaint. So it's not his, he may have signed the contract for a year, but it's not going to get re-signed. It's not going to bode well for this guy if he makes a big fuss his first week on the scene.
Is that true?
Isn't this a great yid? Hey, good. He's from Canada. I just want to repeat that for the sake of the recording. The question was, like, wouldn't the Kehillah rely on the Rav? They hired him because they trust him. Good. Beautiful. Good. Well, we're going to add that every few years they have, like, you know, the NCSY rabbinic training course. So we're going to add that there. Yeah. Okay, fine. Beautiful. Good. Baruch Hashem. Okay. So anyways, so the question is, like, what does our Rav do in this situation? So there's a strong argument that can be made that he doesn't have to make an announcement, that he could bide his time and he could sit back. Because first of all, we have the Nesivus who tells us that they're all relying on the fact that the Erev is okay. And if they're all relying on the fact that the Erev is okay, so they're acting, the Misasek is a perfectly innocent act. So according to the Nesivus, they're all doing something that is perfectly innocent. It's not the ideal setting, but it's perfectly innocent. And then again, we have the consideration of Mudi Shishogi, and that if he makes a big fuss, they're not going to listen to him, and we're turning them into Mezidim, and we're going to create a whole caustic situation. A lot of other problematic errors are going to be created. And so that also, both considerations of Shlomo Zalman are applicable in this situation. And so hopefully this is not what happened with Rabbi Davis. Hopefully he's okay with the Erev, and he didn't say anything because it's actually a good Erev, whatever the case may be. Right. Hopefully he's not biding his time, you know? Whatever's worth, I asked Rabbi Walter about the Queen's Erev. He told me that the Queen's Erev is the best Erev in the world. I said, why? He said, because Rav Moshe himself checked it 2 times. So, okay, fine. Fine. Okay, so that was all Shaila number one. What is that? Fine, okay. Okay, moving over to Shaila number two. The second Shaila we're going to discuss brings us over to the parsha of Bedikas Tolon. You know that there's an Isser, a number of Isserim that are violated when a person eats bugs and other creepy crawlers. That's what generates the whole parsha of Bedikas Tolon. Certain foods have to be checked for bugs in order to avoid these Isserim. Now, it seems from going through a number of poskim that back in the day, there were certain groups of people who were not so makbid on this issue. That in the summer months, when there were bugs swarming around in foods, there were sects of people that were not being makbid to check for bugs before eating. And there was a big discussion in the postgame, what our perspective should be on these people. So the Imre Bina brings a gaon, he doesn't say who, but he brings a gaon who wants to develop a limud zchus for these people. So these people who are not being so meticulous in Bedikas Tolaim, his limud zchus being, listen, these people are not aware of the fact that there are bugs swarming around in these foods. They're acting innocently, unaware of the fact that they're doing an avera. And so even if they end up eating bugs, it's being done, b'misasek, is perfectly innocent. According to the Nesivus, an avera done, b'misasek, is not a ma'isa avera. And so let that be a limud zchus for the haman am who are not being careful and not being meticulous about bedikas tolon. That is the argument of this gaon brought down by the Imre Bina. And there's a sefer called Hisoris Tshuva, who brings the Ksav Sofer, is also giving the same limud zchus. Ksav Sofer was the son of Chassam Sofer. The Ksav Sofer was a great gadol in his own right, and apparently he also had to address this type of an issue. People were not being careful about bedikas tolon, checking for bugs, and the Ksav Sofer gave the same limud zchus that, based on the Nesivus, we have the heter of misasek. Okay, comes along the Imre Bina. And the Imre Bino is not happy with this limud zchus. He felt that this is a faulty defense, and it really is a serious issue that the Haman Am are doing. Why was the Imre Bino unhappy with this heter? So he had two reasons. Reason number one of the Imre Bino is Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, when you do an avera without awareness, it's a ma'isa avera. And according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, when this populace are eating this food without bugs, eating this food with bugs without checking, even though they're doing it the misasik, even though it's without awareness, it's not the most sinister avera, but it is an avera nonetheless, and so therefore it is problematic. So that is the first taina of the Imre Bina, that based on Rav Eiger, we cannot sit back, we can't just watch this. This is a serious problem. His second issue, the Imre Bina's second problem, is based on a Gemara in Krisis, which is a good hashlama, a good ending to the principle of misasik. One last detail, which we didn't hop in yet, which we'll now mention. Gemara Krisis on Daf Yates is the sugya of misasik. It's teaching us all the basic parameters of the principle of misasik. And it tells us a major qualification to the principle of misasik, that although generally persons putter when doing an avera without awareness, but there are two averos that are exceptions to the rule. There are two averos that even done in a manner of misasik, even done without awareness, are still considered to be full-fledged transgressions. And those are the averos of chalavim and arayos. The misasik b'chalavim v'arayos. Chalavim is eating non-kosher, eating chalav and other machalos asurus. And arayos are consorting with the arayos. So that also, those two averos are not subject to the heter of misasik. A person would eat non-kosher due to a lack of awareness, due to a misconception, we don't apply the p'tur of misasik. He needs to bring a korban. Now, as to why that is the sugya there, which we don't have time to get into right now. But that is a major exception to the rule. Says in Ravina that Bidika Solaim fits under Macholos Asurus. One of our two exceptions to the rule was eating non-kosher. Eating non-kosher is not subject to the heter of misasik, so it's not a valid limud zchus. That is the argument of the Imre Bina. So just to summarize, then we'll stop for questions. So we're discussing now a second shaila becomes, is there a limud zchus for people who are not being meticulous for checking for bugs? Apparently this issue arose in the past. The Gdom all felt the need to discuss the shaila. So this gon quoted by the Imre Bina and the Ksav Sofer presented defense based on the Nesivas, that it's not the end of the world. They're acting the misasik. Whereas the Imre Bina was not happy for two reasons. First of all, we have Reb Kiva Eger who says that it is a Maisa Avera. And second of all, he invokes the principle of misasik b'chalav v'arayos, that if you do the Avera of eating macholos asurus b'misasik, we don't apply the heter of misasik. This is macholos asurus, eating on kosher. We should not apply the heter of misasik. Yeah, Eitan. Yes. Okay, so it's definitely all non-kosher foods. There's a little more to the Gemara, that to be absolutely honest, which there is a back and forth here on that sugya there. So it's, although the way I'm presenting it, it seems like the Imre Bina is correct. There's more to it. We have 7 minutes left here. Yeah.
The second point, the halavim.
I called Eitan. I apologize. Yeah, it's good.
Over the Gemara for Machalos and Suros and Arayos, maybe I'm mistaken, but that's for Hana.
Okay, fine. So he caught me. So he's forcing me to get into Eitan's point. So I'll tell you that.
It's not Hana. It's something that's your cook.
Good. So Eitan's mentioning the detail that I left out, which is why it's not so partial with Rabin is saying. Why is it that these two Averos are an exception to the rule? What is it about Manish Tana, these two Averos, Nikola Ha'averos? So the Gemara says, Shekain Nehene. That when a person does these two averos, he's getting hana, he's getting bodily pleasure, and that bodily pleasure counteracts the concept of misasik. Misasik is about doing something in a happenstance manner. There's a certain matter of fact casual aspect of the avera when you're not aware, but when your body gets pleasure from it, you're eating non-kosher, a non-kosher steak, so the fact that there's a certain physical, it focuses you in on what you're doing. It counteracts the concept of misasik. That's the lumdis in a nutshell behind that concept. So based on that, I think what Eitan's getting at is when it comes to eating bugs, where there is no hana and there is no pleasure, maybe we shouldn't apply that exception. That is exactly what the debate is in this issue, that the question is whether to apply that exception to this case in light of the fact that the real lumdis is about getting pleasure. And between me and you, bugs don't sound so appetizing. So chocolate coated grasshoppers, I don't know. Next, so therefore that's the shaila here. Yeah. Yeah, so right. So this is the debate. This is the issue. This is the point. This is the issue. There's a lack of awareness, but the fact that there's a bodily pleasure focuses you in on the avera. So that's the shaila. Right. But the activity, it focuses him on the activity. Okay, fine. I just want to continue when I should. We'll see if we get there. We might get there. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Yeah. Question. Okay. Fine. So let's just finish off now. Zeroing in on the first line of reasoning, the Gaon and the Ksav Sofer. So just to end off here, the Gaon and the Ksav Sofer, we're both of the opinion that we do have this limud zchus, that it's not the end of the world if people are not checking for bugs. because they're relying on the nesivus, that it's not a maisa avera. And that second argument of the Imre Bina, which Eitan caught me on, we referenced a little bit. There's back and forth on that discussion. So they, at the end of the day, the Gaon and the Ksav Sofer of the opinion that it's not the end of the world if people are not meticulous about checking for bugs. So the question becomes, according to those shitas, why do you need to check for bugs? You know, bodek, all this fancy schmancy stuff that's like triple the price. Why do we need to check for bugs? If it's a misasik, listen, I'm not going to check the food for bugs. And if it ends up being a bug, I'm eating without awareness. I'm doing it a misasik. According to the Nesivis, Shmuel Zalman, Chaim Brisker, Rav Simcha Zelig from Brisk, they all hold like the Nesivis, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. It's perfectly fine. It's an innocent act. What is the big deal? That is the question that arises on our first line of reasoning here, the Gaon and the Ksav Sofer. So this question, I apologize, there's 3 minutes left. I just want to finish up. So this question troubled none other than Rabbi Sol Salanter. So Salanter was bothered by this question. Why do we need to do B'dikas Tolayim? Why do we check for bugs? It's misasik. I'm not going to check. And if there ends up being a bug, I'm not aware of it. And it is misasik. Rabbi Sol Salanter was bothered by this question. So Rabbi Moshe Sternbach brings this down. He says that Rabbi Sol Salanter wrote a letter to Rabbi Kiva Eger asking Rabbi Kiva Eger this question. Why do we check bugs? Why do we have to do B'dikas Tolayim? It's misasik. Rabbi Eger never responded to the letter. He never responded to the Shaila of Rishol Salanter. Sometime later, Rishol Salanter encountered Rav Shlomo Eger. Shlomo Eger was the son of Rav Kiva Eger. And he asked Rav Shlomo Eger, what happened? What happened to my Shaila? How come Rav Kiva Eger never responded? So Rav Shlomo Eger told him that his father, Rav Kiva Eger, in his great humility, didn't want to respond to the Shaila because he was afraid he was going to offend the Rav of Salant. Rishol Salanter was from Salant. The Rav of Salant was Rav Hirsch. And Rabbi Kiva Eger was worried that if he paskened on a shaila from one of the residents of Salant, the Rav would be offended. Therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger didn't respond to Rabbi Sol's shaila. That is what Moshe Sternbach brings down. But the ending of the story is Rabbi Shlomo Eger said to Rabbi Sol Salanter that you want to know why you have to do B'digas Salayim, because my father Shita is, Mas'asik is a Maisa Avera. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, Mas'asik is a Maisa Avera, and that's what we do, B'digas Salayim. So that is the incident with Rukiv Eger, Rishon Eger, and Rishon Salanter. Problem is that doesn't answer our question. We knew that according to Rukiv Eger, there is a problem of B'dikas Talayim, that you have to check for bugs. Had Rishon Salanter sent the shayla to Nesivus, it would have come out differently. But he sent the shayla to Rukiv Eger, and this is exactly what we thought was going to happen. Rukiv Eger passed, that's a problem. His son said, it's a Maisa Aver. So the question remains, according to the Nesivus, why do we have to check for bugs? What is the issue? So with 1 minute left, I'll share what Rav Moshe Sternbach says. Rav Moshe Sternbach says, which I think we're all intuiting, that if you have certain food items that are muchzuk betoloy, that we know from experience that there are chazakas here, that this food is infested with bugs, then you can't just close your eyes and pretend that there are no bugs here. There's a certain scent, there's a certain degree of yediyah. There's a certain degree of knowledge that there's a likelihood that this has bugs in it. That's called awareness. It's not called lack of awareness. Even though this particular chavtza, I don't technically see any creepy crawlers, but at the end of the day, you know that these types of food items are infested with bugs. That's klali. The general knowledge that this is infested with bugs is called awareness, and therefore it is not subject to the heter of misasik. So that is Rav Moshe Sternbach's answer to this question. And with that, we are done really with the sugya of misasik. So just to quickly summarize what we did today, we dealt with two shailas that come up in the postkin based on our principles from last week. Shaila one was, should we announce a downed Erev? The Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Chaim, and Rav Simcha Zelig paskened not to announce a downed Erev for two reasons. Reason one was the shita of the Nesivas, that it's not a Maisa Avera. Reason number two, Shlomo Zalman was mutzav that the whole klal should be acting in Shogeg rather than to announce it and cause a section of people to be acting bemezit. That was his shito. The Orcha Shabbos and the Chutshani both paskin that we should announce it down to Erev. They hold like Rabbi Kiva Eger that it's a Maisa Avera, and they seem to argue under Shlomo Zalman's application of Mutav that in this case, why should he prioritize the less religious? Let's prioritize the more religious. They're going to benefit from my announcement. They're not going to do the Avera if I announce it. Let's prioritize them. And I brought the tshuva from Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe also seems to agree to that analysis with the shayla, with the announcing not to speak during the tekiyas. Rav Moshe Paskin, that we should make the announcement to prioritize the people who will listen. So that was Shaila number one. Shaila two was the issue of Bedikas Toloim. Is it a big deal if people are not so meticulous? If they're not aware, they're not as knowledgeable about this issue, so do we have to make a big fuss? This was a big Shaila in the Poskim. This Gaon, who we don't know his name, and the Ksav Sofer, both Paskin, like the Nesivos, that it's not the end of the world, whereas the Imre Bina wasn't happy for two reasons, one of them being Rav Akiva Eiger. And we ended off with the fascinating story with Rav Sol Salanter. Why, according to the Nesivos, do you need to check for bugs? Okay. Shkayach. Yeah, exactly. Yep. What is that? Yeah, yes. Yeah, yes, there is. Beautiful.